The title of the message is Election and Preservation. Election and Preservation. We're on page 174, 175 in Thiessen's Lectures in Systematic Theology. We're covering every page in this. When I went to the seminary, I don't know of a class that the professor actually finished the course. Did you hear what I said? I don't know of a simple class that the professor actually finished the course, except God's eternal purpose. Some of the years, I took that about three times, and I think we finished it in 1 year, one time. One time we finished it. There was a lesson plan and all of that, but we have studied the kingdom studies, which I did, 66 of those. I went through the whole book. It's done. We studied New Testament survey, and we're still doing that. I studied the Bible in 8 ages. We did 400 and something of those classes. We did it. We finished it. And if the Lord gives me the ability, I will finish these lectures in systematic theology. I think it's one of the most important studies that we can do. I want to go back to your little chart that I gave you on election. And I want to recover this, just recap it slightly. Just polish it up a little bit. Superlapsarians believe... These are what we call hyper-Calvinist. There are many, very, very big names in theological circles are superlapsarians. And God's first decree to elect some and reprobate the others. That's before he did anything else. He decreed to elect some and reprobate others. In other words, to create the elect and create the reprobate. Number two, to create man. Number three, to permit the fall. This is why it's called a superlapsarian. Before he did anything, I didn't create or anything, he decided to create the reprobate and the elect. Number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement. And number five, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Infralapsarians are what we call moderate Calvinists. They believe that God decreed to create man, to permit, the second decree to is permit the fall of man, number three, to elect some to eternal life, number four, to procure salvation for the elect through the atonement, and number five, to regenerate the elect by irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. Sublapsarianism, I'm a modified sublapsarian, as you know, and maybe you are by now, is to create, the decree to create and to create man. Number two, the decree to permit the fall of man. Number three, to provide a ransom price for all men, which that's what we call an unlimited atonement. We remember Tulip. That's the doctrine of Calvin. Actually, it's a doctrine of Calvin students, in all reality. Total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and preservation of saints. We're talking about preservation today, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Election and preservation. So these sublapsarians, they believe and permit the fall of man to provide a ransom price for all, to elect some to eternal life through faith. In other words, give some the ability to believe. To convict the world of sin, to regenerate the elect by our irresistible work of the Holy Spirit. And still we have irresistible grace, don't we? Now, your modified sublapsarians believe to create the heavens and the earth, to create all things, and number one, and to create man, to permit the fall of man, to provide a ransom price for all mankind, number three, to elect those foreknown to believe. That's a little more legitimate, isn't it? Because we're talking about volition. God created man in his what image? His sovereign image also. And to convict the world of sin and to regenerate those who believe. To regenerate those who believe. Then we have the Amaraldian, hypothetically universalist, that Jesus Christ died for all mankind and nobody will go to hell. You have your Seventh-day Adventist that Jesus Christ died for all mankind and nobody will go to hell and Satan will be our sin bearer in hell. Because he's the only one that's going to go to hell. This is your Seventh-day Adventism. To permit the fall of man to provide a ransom price for all men equally, to elect some to moral ability to believe. To regenerate those who believe. The Lutheran idea, Lutheran-Arminian idea, is to create, to permit the fall, to provide a ransom price for all men, to give all men the means of salvation through moral ability. We are all wicked, aren't we? Right. That's what the Bible says. We all go astray from our mother's womb. We are all conceived in sin. The act of the sex that brought the child into the world was not sin, but we are conceived in sin in that the blood of our fathers go in and infect us in sin. Difference. To elect those foreknown to believe and persevere. Now you're hyper Armenian, like your Wesleyan and your Pentecostal and your Calvary Chapel and all of this. Calvary Chapel is a little more moderate. To create man and to permit the fall of man, to remit the guilt of the original sin of men to Christ, which is baptism and regeneration. You're baptized for the original sin. To elect those foreknown to believe and persevere. Now, let's go to Romans, the 8th chapter. We got that underneath our belt, don't we? Again, this is very important. I believe it's important because it protects God's churches from error. Election and preservation. Now let's see what Paul the Apostle says to the church at Rome. In verse number 26. And in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings and deep, too deep for words. Now, I have been in this state. I think that you have probably sometime in your life. That you can't even mouth words from your heart, how you feel sometimes you just weep. When you pray, just weep. He who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, and he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that God is able to cause all things to work for the good, together for the good of those who love God. To the elect, who are called according to his purpose, God's eternal purpose, God's unpreventable progress, God's election and preservation. For in whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In whom he predestined these, he also called. In whom he called, these he also justified. In whom he justified, he also glorified. And God sees us justified and glorified with him today. We're hampered down through time and space, but God sees you with him in eternity today. Is that neat? What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him, handed him over up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And this is your prosperity gospel that people talk about. I heard one of them. I listen to the radio when I can. Oh, how I wish we could put some of these messages out on the radio. They're out on the internet all over the world. But there's so much heresy out there and very little truth. Very, very little truth. give us freely all things. Who will bring a charge against God's elect, the elect in preservation? God is the one who justifies. Jesus Christ died for our sins, did he not? And he was raised for our justification. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who has raised, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, peril or death? That's what the sword means there, death. Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. The children of God, do good, bad things happen to good people? Every day. Do evil things happen to good people? Every day. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we are overwhelmingly conquered through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, in other words, nothing can kill you and separate you from God. Your own life, your own living, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creating thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's preservation, people. That's really, really good preservation. Tremendous preservation. You thankful for that? Amen. Yes. Do we go through trials and tribulation in everyday life? Yeah. When you're arrested for robbing a bank or something like that, don't say you're suffering for Jesus. If you went out and stole somebody's car and you're arrested and put in jail, don't say I'm suffering for Jesus. We suffer for Jesus all the time. The world hates us. Jesus said, it will hate you because it hated me. Even those we love. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13. For he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. We were under the power of Satan when we were born. Did you know that?
Yes, sir.
He was our God when we're born. Do you remember when you traded gods? When you asked the Lord to save your soul and forgive you of your sins? I remember listening to a real famous preacher one time. And he said that he didn't have to repent because he didn't really do anything wrong because he was the elect and God had transferred him. Right here he used these scriptures. I realized one day that I was of the elect. And I was so rejoiced that God had chosen me. And that he had made me like I am all of my life. That's that superlapsarian business. Do we all have to repent of our sins and come to God? Yes. If you haven't out there, you need to. Because you're not with him. He's not yours. You ask him to save your soul and forgive you of your sins. It's not going to come through baptism. It's not going to come because your mom and dad were church members and they were leaders in the church. It's because of your personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
For he snatched us out of the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption for the forgiveness of sins born. All right, sins. And he is the image of the invisible God, the first, the head, actually, of all creation. It wasn't the firstborn, it's the head of all creation. For in him all things were created, both in the heavens and upon the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him and by him, actually in the Greek. Through him, for him, and by him. Now Ephesians, the first chapter, go back to Ephesians, the sixth chapter, that is. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand or resist firm against the schemes of the devil one. the schemes of the Diabolos, the schemes of the evil one, the destroyer. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and against powers and world grabbers of darkness, of this specific darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Jesus is our God of light. Satan is the God of darkness. Genesis 1 and 1 says, Bana Sheath Bara Elohim Eth Hashemayim with Haaretz. In one of the beginnings, he had created Elohim, the heavens and the earth. And then it says, Weha Aretz, and the heavens, or, and the earth, that is, Hatya, she had become formless and void. And then it says, Wechoshek, darkness was over the faces of the deep. Darkness. What was that darkness? Who had caused that darkness? God didn't create the world like that. Satan had caused that darkness. We see this darkness. We coexist with this darkness, don't we, every day? Mm-hmm. Coexist with it. It's there. Take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand. Stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, by which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts, the arrows of the evil one. Take a helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all preservation, petition for all the saints. Then he tells them to pray that he will have revelation from God. Revelation from God. Now, let's go back to Thiessen's book. On page 174, page 174, talk about the doctrine of preservation. Now, we'll go on to the definition of preservation. What is preservation? It means to sustain. Now, God created all things, didn't he? Not only did he create all things, he's sustaining all things. All things were not created in chaos. He created them in order. And he creates and sustains in order, doesn't he? The proof of the doctrine of preservation, the cosmological argument, that our stars stay where they're supposed to. There are some wandering asteroids and things out there, aren't there? Run into things. The scriptures teach that although God rested after he had completed the work of creation and he had established an order of natural forces, yet he continues his activity in upholding the universe and its powers. In Colossians, it tells us that.
Where are you at? You're on page
170? I'm on page 175, the second paragraph.
Oh, I have 174.
Okay, 175, the second paragraph. He yet continues his activity in upholding universe and its powers. More specifically, they teach that Christ is a mediating agent in the preservation, as he was the mediating agent in creation. Some scriptures speak of his preserving activity in the comprehensive way. For example, Nehemiah 9 and 6. You are you, O Jehovah. Even you alone, you have made the heavens, the heaven and the heaven of heavens. How many heavens are there? Three. He made all of them. And with all their armies, and the earth, and all the things that are thereon, and the seas, and all the things that are in them, and you preserve them all. Colossians 1:17, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist or are held together. Colossians 1:17. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Hebrews 1 and 3. Who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, the upholding of all things by the word of his power, Christ holds all things together, doesn't he? He is a glue that holds all the universe together. Now down to the last paragraph. Well, second to the last paragraph. Some scriptures mention definite things that he preserves. For example, animate and inanimate objects. Inanimate and animate objects are creation. He created all things, didn't he? He created the dirt. Created man as he created the dirt. An animate object is what?
Living object.
An animate.
Oh, animate
is
life.
It's life. Life things. That's zoology, zoe, living things. And then we have inanimate things. We have rocks and we have dirt and we have mountains and all of this. Are trees animate or inanimate? They're animate. They're alive. Except when we make firewood out of them. And when we burn the firewood, it doesn't go out of existence because we still have ashes, don't we? Energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, as Einstein said. Nothing ceases to be. Changes form, but it doesn't cease to be. Psalm 104, more particularly, Psalm 36 and verse 6. O Jehovah, you preserve man and beast. You preserve man and animals. Job 7:20, oh, you watcher. Now the word watcher there, roe. What does that mean, Sharon?
Like a shepherd.
That's a shepherd. Oh, you shepherd. Our God, our shepherd. For God is what? For the Lord is my shepherd. And Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. In Psalm 23, he said, the Lord our shepherd, Jehovah my shepherd. And in Psalm 10, or John 10, it says, the Lord Jesus is our good shepherd. Psalm 104:29, you hide your face and they are troubled. You take away their breath and they die. And actually what it says in Hebrew is turn to the dust. Turn to dust. Psalm 66 and verse 9. Who holds all our soul in life and allows not our feet to be moved. Acts 17:28. And this is a pagan poet that's been quoted here. Did you know that? For in him we live and move and have our existence or our being. And that was first, as far as I know, you go back to Erastus of Tarsus about 272 B.C., but there was one, Cleanthes of Athens, about 300 B.C. These were common sayings, but they were addressed to Zeus. So Paul used a very common colloquial saying, a figure of speech of the day in him we move and live and have our existence. Yes, not in Zeus, but in God, Jesus. He was trying to get them to understand that Jesus is everything they had attributed to Zeus and all the other preservers of all time were actually Jesus is the God of heaven. Colossians tells us that. Ephesians tells us that. And what else? Colossians and Ephesians and Romans. And all the book, even Galatians tells us that. The book of Hebrews tells us. Acts 17:28. Now we know this is a common saying, but he turned around and used it to describe the eternal God, not Zeus. So also his saints, Proverbs 2:8, that he may guard the paths of justice and preserve the way of his holy ones. I want you to look at this word holy for just a minute. Saints. This is it. Right there. What is that, Sharon?
Hagios.
Tell me how you break this word down. Hagios is a saint. All right. It comes from two Greek words. That's a negative, isn't it? That means not. And what does this word here mean?
Of earth.
Not of earth. That's gay. That's earth.
Mm-hmm.
Eretz in Hebrew. Not of earth. The first time you're born into this world, you're born of earth. You're born with your father's blood in you and you're infected with sin. And you're a sinner. But when you're born from above, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And here's a high-minded, proud Pharisee And Jesus tells him, you know, they say they were separate. Pharisees, it comes from phares, it means to separate. In the days of Pele, God divided the earth. That's the word phares. That's where it goes back to the Hebrew peleg, a pele. They separated themselves from all other people because, as he said, they were more holy than all of the rest. More holy. But Jesus tells this holy one, you're unholy. You need to be born again. We must be born again. Hide your face and they are troubled. For in him we move and live and have our existence, that he may guard our paths of justice and preserve the way of his saints. In Psalm 37:28, for Jehovah loves justice and forsakes not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. And John 10:28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of our hands. The world may beat us up, the world may kill us, but we are righteous in the eyes of God. How many Baptists died in the Dark Ages? For not their sins, but for what? For serving God. How many? 50 to 100 million. No. Have you ever seen a million people in one place?
No.
50 to 100 million died. 50 to 100 million. Catholic Church killed 50 to 100 million. Let's go back. Islam has killed about 270 million. That's a lot of people. Murders. They murder people. They murder people for the faith. Make sure you're being murdered for the real faith. There are people dying over there in these foreign lands for the Jehovah Witnesses, for the Mormonism, for Seventh-day Adventism, for whatever. Isn't it terrible that they think they're dying for Jesus? Well, actually dying for Allah or dying for whatever. Every one of these Muslims that ties on a bomb and goes and kills himself thinks he's going to wake up in paradise. He wakes up in hell. Screaming and tortured. How do you go to the right place? Believe in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Number three, the method of preservation. Method. And this gets pretty confusing here, but we're going to try to untangle the mess. Have any of you women ever had a very fine chain necklace? It's real hard to keep them untangled, isn't it? That's a mess. You got to hang it on something. Am I right, Carol? It's hard to keep them untangled. Have you ever gone out to a barrel of baling wire and try to get you a piece of wire out of there and use it, straighten it back out? Method of preservation. Although all theists agree. What's a theist?
Believers in God.
One who believes in God. Now, remember, there are people out there that believe in God that don't believe in our God. Right. Remember that. A theist is one who believes in God, a creator.
Not the same God that we believe in?
No.
A God?
Not necessarily. Okay. We're going to study that. We're going to break it down. People always say Thomas Jefferson believed in God. He believed in God, but he didn't believe in our God. He didn't believe in Jesus. He didn't believe in any miracles. We're going to find out what he did believe pretty soon. Although all theists agree that God in some way or other preserves all that he has created, they would not all agree as to the way in which he does this. Indeed, two of the theories that have been put forward virtually deny the doctrine of preservation. Two of the theories deny the doctrine of preservation. We shall examine these briefly and then set forth what we conceive to be the scriptural view, the deistic theory. Thomas Jefferson. Okay, Thomas Jefferson. Write his name here. This is Thomas Jefferson. He was probably one of the most brilliant men of the millennium. He was a real carer for men's souls. He believed in democracy. He believed in democracy, not an oligarchy or some system where the system rules you because it knows more than you do. Okay? He believed in a democracy. He tried to get it going that way. You know what? In America, he almost started a counter-revolution. Did you know that? They were gone as what we call the nationalist. And the nationalist today would be like the Republican Party. Ooh. But in all reality, that was a nationalist. But Thomas Jefferson was a Republican. But the Republicans were Democrats. Did you catch that?
Nope.
That's political science.
So he was a Democrat.
He was a Republican.
But you said Republicans were Democrats, so he was a Democrat.
He was a Democrat of his day. He believed in socialism, a certain amount of socialism. But he believed that every person ought to have a right to sustain his life, and that no person, and the same thing as Abraham Lincoln believed this. They were both, and both of them are what? Republicans. But they weren't Republicans. You understand that? When did the Democratic Party become the Republican Party in America? Huh? Johnson. Andrew Johnson. The Southern Democrats were the basis of all orthodoxy America. And when he brought in civil rights, the Southern Democrats went to the Republicans. And they became Republicans because they went about. All of the Negroes up until that period of time were Republicans. Did you know that? All Negroes were Republicans because of the man that set them free. But after LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson, after him, then the Democrats became Republicans. Mark it down. That was just a little story there, okay? Deism explains the preservation in the terms of natural law. It holds that God created the universe and endowed it with powers sufficient to keep itself in existence. We know that is not true now. Sufficient to keep itself in existence. The universe is thus a great self-sustaining mechanism, and God is a mere spectator of the world. God is a mere spectator of the world and of its operations, exerting no direct efficiency to sustaining it. He created it to sustain itself, a self-parroting universe. It fixes itself. If people if Honda or Toyota could make a self-parroting car, now with these computers, the car will tell you what's wrong with itself. Sometimes. That's what you go in, they plug them into a computer, but it doesn't fix itself, it just tells you what's wrong. You've got to fix it. You know one of the most amazing self-parroting things that's ever been created in the universe, you know what it is? Living organisms. If you eat the right foods and do the right things, if your body gets sick, it will fix itself. We have antibodies that go in there, you know, the white blood cells and all this stuff. This is self-parenting. It's fixing itself. Wouldn't you like to have a car that way? Self-parenting? God is a mere spectator of the world and its operations, exerting no direct efficiency in sustaining it, but this is a false assumption, for where there is a machine that can sustain itself, where is a machine that can sustain itself? Only the human body, only animal bodies. You catch a fox in the wintertime in a trap, and sometimes fox would chew off his leg, but they go on alive. It was caught, so it chewed his leg off, and it would heal. a three-legged fox now. But he'll be running around to wander another day. Your arm gets broken. It doesn't stay broken forever. If you get it in the right position, it will heal itself. In the Civil War and all the way back during that period of time before they had antibiotics, and they really had antibiotics, the Indians had invented many of them before that. We use much of that today. George Washington wouldn't have died if they'd got a Cherokee medicine man to work on him instead of those... A doctor was a barber at that time. They put leeches on him and cut him and bled him and all this because they believed in the Greek idea of medicine where you had to have a balance in your body, and if you had too much of this, you had to get rid of it. Where is the machine that can sustain itself? Do they not all run down and need repairing and rebuilding? Talked about that earlier today, didn't you, Vincent? Restoring an old automobile. Tell you about myself. What you see is only a paint job. Underneath falling apart.
But it's still moving forward, though.
Still moving.
It's got a motor in it.
Still moving.
Wheels on it.
Still moving. And that V12 is now running on three cylinders. Furthermore, there is evidence to show that God has not withdrawn from the universe. The Christian believes that we have a special revelation of God in the Bible. The Bible tells us this information, that God has become incarnate in Christ Jesus by a miraculous birth. We know that. That the regeneration is supernatural work of God in the heart of man. And is that true? God regenerates us when we're born again. And it's not an irresistible regeneration either, because we do resist it sometimes, don't we? Mm-hmm. We get ourselves in trouble. That God answers prayer and that he sometimes intervenes miraculously in the affairs of the world from the Christian standpoint, therefore, this theory is very unsatisfactory. Now, the continuous creation theory, on page 176, number 2. This theory confounds creation and preservation. It confounds it. It confuses it. The deistic view holds that all is upheld by natural law, that it takes care of itself, that God made the universe able to take care of itself and to sustain itself. We know that that doesn't work. This view holds that from the moment to moment God creates the universe with all that is in it, it is based on the conception that all force is divine will. All force is divine will, and that in direct exercise, whereas there is also human will, and the indirect exercise of the divine will, namely in the form of natural law. We have human will, we have animal will, and then we have the form of natural law, which has a will.
When you said that, based on the concept that all force is divine will?
Yes. All energy is divine. Now, we know that is not true.
Okay.
We know that is not true.
But I'm trying to understand that, mm-hmm. that energy has its own divine will. Which is
energy has its own volition. But God does not make all energy. It's not coming. It's not in his direct will, is it? Sometimes we have the permissive will of God.
But real, honest, divine energy is motivated by God. There's no such thing as
Ephesians 6, okay, Colossians 1,
no
Romans 8.
Power, it powers itself.
Yeah.
But there, you're talking about
nothing powers
power.
Itself. God externally takes care of things in his preservation. Not internally, but externally. Right. He preserves. Right. Externally, he preserves. Not internally. It doesn't come from it. It comes from externally. Your superlapsarians are kind of like that. We do not sin because we are of the elect. We persevere because we are of the elect. That's what we call it. It is divine. We are divine. We are not divine. We still struggle with sin, don't we? We still struggle with sin. We're not self-sustaining. God sustains us. We're not self-persevering or preservation. And we don't have the moral ability to preserve ourselves either, do we? As the Armenians say. Yes, Brother Ray.
You heard the word aseity.
What is it?
Aseity.
Aseity.
It means from self, oneself, from no external or
yes.
existence.
Internal.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but mm-hmm. that was aseity. A-S-E-I-T-Y.
Okay.
That was just a word I seen that it talked about that meaning God is self-existing.
Oh,
not
yeah, God is. Yeah.
From any sources.
But we are not.
No,
we are preserved. The universe is preserved externally from
right,
God. It does not self-preserving.
God is not preserving
to make it self-preserving is to make it into deity.
Right.
That's what we're talking about.
Right.
Not all natural things are not deity.
Right.
They're preserved by deity, right. but not endowed with deity. To this we reply that we are conscious that the regular activity in nature is not the repetition of creation, not the repetition self-creation, but the indirect exercise of His will, His power, and His preservation.
Mm-hmm.
That the theory destroys all continuity of existence, for if God creates everything every moment out of nothing, then things cease to be the same things that are not something new every moment. Everything becomes new every moment. That it impugns the truth and holiness of God is that continuous creation merely makes us seem to be the same personalities from moment to moment, when in reality we are not. It destroys all evidence for the existence of the external world, for what we regard as such is but inward states of consciousness produced momentarily by the creative agency of God, and that in making all will God's will, the theory makes God the author of sin also. Mary Baker Eddy, Christian Science. Do you understand that? Only everything is an imagination. All sickness and death is an imagination. What we have to do is devoid our minds of all of that. Number 3, on the bottom of page 176, the theory of concursus. This we accept as a true theory. It holds that God concurs in all the operations, both of matter and of mind. Though God's will is not the only force in the universe, is it? Is everything that happened out there God's will? Everything that happened to you this last week, you think is God's will?
No.
God puts up with this trash that we go through every day. And yet, without His concurrence, no force or person can continue to exist or to act. 1 Corinthians 12 and 6 and Acts 17, 28, as we looked before. His power interpenetrates that of man without destroying or absorbing it. He does not control man. He does not elect man to be reprobate or the elect.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't create him that way. But He acknowledges the sovereignty of mankind and of angels and of spirits. Is it? Does he or does he not? Men retain their natural powers and exercise them daily, but it is evident that although God preserves mind and body in their working, He concurs with the evil acts of creatures only as they are natural acts, not as they are evil. In other words, in evil actions, God gives only the natural powers. The evil direction of these powers is caused by man, angels, or spirits only. God's declared hatred of sin, that is, He is not the cause of man's evil acts. For example, oh, do not this abominable thing that I hate, Jeremiah 44 and verse 4. Let no man say that he is tempted, I am tempted to God, for God cannot be tempted with evil. And He Himself tempts no man, but each man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed and lets himself be used of Satan. Lucifer. James 1:13 and 14. Also Habakkuk 1:13. And Habakkuk also says the just shall live by faith. Now right there is where we're going to quit for today. Do you have any questions concerning this?
No questions or comments. We need to go over it again next Sunday or whenever. I got a lot of good stuff out of that. I get the general concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, about the stuff existing. I was doing a lot of reading about self-existing.
Mm-hmm.
From not external or any resources. God doesn't depend on that. His existence doesn't depend on it. Doesn't depend with man or anything in his creation.
Yes.
Everything comes forth from him, but he...
is not the author of sin. He is not the author of the reprobate, is he?
No, no.
He is not the author of Lucifer's sin, is he? He's not the author of Lucifer's sin, is he?
No.
He's not the author of the rebellion of the spiritual and angelic forces, is he? But he gave them volition. Now you have volition if you're out there today. What are you going to do with what you got today, this message? What are you going to do with this message? I hope it didn't go over your head.
A little bit, but I got a little bit of it.
I hope you caught some of those balls that were thrown.
I caught a couple of ping pongs.
God does sustain. God does elect, doesn't he? Whom he foreknew, he elected. Is that right?
Amen.
He didn't create the damned. He didn't create evil angels. He didn't create evil spirits. They got that way. Adam was not created a wandering, lost, terrible being, was he? He was created perfect. Lucifer was a choir leader and a leader out in the material creation of God and leading out in the worship of God, and yet he rebelled because he was sovereign. How could God get an angel to serve him if it was a robot? How could God get a man to serve him if he was created a robot? And he could not choose right from left or wrong. Right from wrong. You have ability today to choose. If you're out there in Singapore, Bangladesh, South Africa, wherever you are, if you heard this message today, and all of you that are here, what are you going to do with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to ask him to save your soul and forgive you your sins? Or are you going to say, Jesus, lead me as I should go in my life? Are you going to go do your own thing? Because your own thing is not your own thing. It's Satan's thing. Vincent, what song do we have this morning of invitation?
We have 366.
366.
It's already getting ahead of me. 366.
No longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight. Things that are higher, things that are nobler, these have allured my sight. I will hasten to him, hasten so glad and free. Jesus, greatest, highest, I will come to thee.
Our Father, we thank you for your word today. We ask you to open our minds to it. Help us to be holy vessels to honor and glorify you. If there's one out there lost, Father, I pray that you condemn them with your spirit and lead them to you. My words won't do anything. It's your Holy Spirit that does it all. Forgive us for your failure. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.